here.
Yeah, wow is right. Another win in the books. Royals take care of Tampa in game two. Final score 4-2. Wasn't always pretty, now was it? But it sure did end in a beautiful way. The phone lines are open for you on a beautiful night. A double rainbow over the right field wall type of night at Kauffman Stadium. If you were one of the more than 23,000 in attendance, we're not going to make you wait on hold. Boy, what a night you've had. Drone show, fireworks, and one of the four or five best teams in the American League showing why they have a record that now sits eight games above 500. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. To me, this game tonight was about the fixers. The guys that, when an issue arose, they took care of it. The fixers tonight led the Royals to a 4-2 win, evening up this three-game series. The boys look to take it tomorrow behind the right arm of Alec Marsh. And that's where we need to begin, with the right arm, with the starting pitcher, with Michael Wacha. Now, a lot of the issues that he found himself in, a majority of them were his own doing, but like a savvy veteran, Wacha found a way out of trouble time in and time out. After giving up a first inning solo bomb, he strikes out Randy Arozarena, showing no concern, showing no shakiness out there in the bump. Wacha comes out in the second inning, and right out of the gate, there's an error. An error behind him, an error on Nick Lofton. So a man on second base with nobody out. And again, Wacha, unflinching, retires the next three batters in order. He walks two in the third, but strikes out Randy Arozarena again to get out of that jam. A leadoff single in the fourth inning, retires the next three batters to get out of that jam. And after a 1-2-3 fifth inning, he walks the first man he faces in the sixth, but again, retires the next three to get out of the jam. Michael Wacha was everything you could have wanted from the newly minted 33-year-old. That was classic Michael Wacha. That might be doing him a disservice. That was outstanding work from a cagey veteran in Michael Wacha. But the fixers weren't done. Angel Zerpa comes in with two on and two outs, and he gets DeLuca to stare at a 97-mile-per-hour sinker running in his kitchen. I'll tell you what, man. Angel Zerpa's got some brass ones. The way he pounds the zone into right-handers is thoroughly impressive. Speaking of which, James MacArthur fixing up a mess left by Chris Stratton in the eighth inning. And then Kyle Isbell cleans up a loud fly ball off of the bat of Taylor Walls in the ninth inning. So when a situation started to form, the fixers and Michael Wacha, Angel Zerpa, James MacArthur, and Kyle Isbell took care of said issue and made sure your boys in blue walked away with a 4-2 victory. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Chris was at the game tonight. Chris, you're going to hit leadoff, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, this is a great game tonight. I don't want to piggyback too much off you tonight. I mean, obviously, accolades could go all around. Wacha pitched a gem, you know, a wily veteran. You know, you've already mentioned Angel Zerpa kind of picking up there coming in the middle of an inning. But I just want to give absolute props to MacArthur coming in, getting a five-out save. Absolutely fantastic. And for all the Kyle Isbell haters, and I know they're out there because they call your show, and I personally have been an Isbell fan basically since he's been with the Royals, for all those haters that want to dog on him, want Waters to take his place or to trade to get him out of here, this is why he is on this team. To make a catch like
Chris,
that could potentially save this game at the end of his glove, this is why he is here, and I'm glad he's patrolling center field.
That is so very well said, buddy. I appreciate that phone call, and it's a perfect transition to head inside that Royals clubhouse right now and talk with one of those fixers, the guys that make sure you're shaking hands afterward. Kyle Isbell, kind enough to dial us up after a 1-for-3 night at the dish, a run scored, and maybe the catch of the year. And that's saying something for one of the finest defensive units in Major League Baseball. Kyle, knowing you, been able to watch your entire career, I feel like you knew you had that ball off the bat. Am I correct?
Yeah, I knew off the bat I was going to have a good shot at it. I knew there was going to be a collision with the wall, and it was all about just making sure the ball stayed in my glove.
Kyle, what, you know, when we talk about base runners, a guy like Michael Garcia, he's fearless on the base paths. When I watch you in center field, that's the word that comes to my mind. A fearless confidence that if the ball's in the air, that's mine. When did that form for you? When did you first start having that type of confidence out there?
Yeah, I think it's just a mindset I have. Every time I take the field in center field, my mindset is don't hit it over here. No matter where it goes, you're going to be out. And that's just kind of my thought process I take out there every single day. And that's what I live off of.
There are a few diving full Superman catches that you've made this season that maybe you put above that one. I don't know. Where does that catch rank for you?
I don't know. I haven't really analyzed it or really seen it yet, but I'm just happy we came out of there with a win. That's all that matters.
No doubt. Fifth. Of the 6 wins you guys have had on this homestand, 5 of them have been come from behind. What is it about this team that when you guys find yourself in an early deficit, you're unflinching?
Yeah, we're just it's a resilient group. Team chemistry is unmatched inside our clubhouse, and it doesn't really matter what the score is. We're going to go out there and play hard every single night and give it our all.
How about a thought on Michael Wacha? 6 innings of one-run baseball, plenty of traffic behind him, but when he needed to make a big pitch, he certainly did.
Yeah, no, he's been incredible, mixing it up, keeping guys off balance, hitting the spots. He's fun to watch out there and fun to play behind. I mean, he was electric tonight.
Kyle, final thing for you, a message to the 24,000 fans as they drive home after, man, you played such a key role in making their night. A beautiful night at the ballpark. What would you like to say to these fans that you guys have all sorts of fired up right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think they play a bigger role. Just as much as a role as us. I mean, the energy that they bring to the stadium every single night is incredible, and it's fun playing in front of them every single day, and look forward to seeing them tomorrow.
Well, I got a whole bunch of phone lines full right now with Kyle Isbell fans that are waiting to get on and give you some more love, Izzy, so I appreciate you dialing us up, man. Great job tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
There you go, Kyle Isbell live inside that Royals clubhouse. Izzy is hitting 300 even over the past month of baseball. That ain't no small sample size. A 300 batting average and an OPS of 845. How about that one too? Chris leaving Kauffman Stadium builds up Kyle Isbell, not knowing Kyle Isbell's calling up. Kyle Isbell heard your phone call, Chris, so way to go. Way to represent. Let's go to Destructor D. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals double up the Rays, winning 4-2. Go ahead, D.
Hey, Vern, thank you for taking my call. What a night to be out there. You know, as great as the game was, that drone show afterwards was very amazing. I've never seen anything like that in my life. I have no idea how they did that. One question I have that you would probably be able to answer, and we were talking about, I know Massey has to play DH right now, and we have Garcia over at second and Lofton at third, and just, you know, naturally I was talking about it with my friend Jeff, who was there with us with his wife Jen, and I was just curious why Lofton is not going back to second and Garcia is playing third, since that's where he's played since he came up. So that's one question I have that just wasn't really sure about. But wow, what a game tonight. You know, major props to, you know, Wacha and MacArthur, and then Isbell. That was seriously one of the best catches I've ever seen. Not just saying that, but with the game on the line, if he doesn't make that, good chance the game goes to extra innings. But, hey, way to go. Let's go Royals. Let's get another one tomorrow. Thank you, Vern.
Thank you, D. Appreciate it. Yeah, when you go back and watch that replay, the concentration of Kyle Isbell is the thing that amazes me. Look, him crashing into the wall is nothing new. That dude is as tough as they come. And again, you heard what he just said. Don't hit it to me or it's going to be caught. That's the mindset that Izzy has had, I'd say, for about... Once he was around Michael A. Taylor for a few months, I think that was the final piece of the puzzle. He learned from Alex Gordon. He learned from Michael A. Taylor. And now we're seeing one of the finest defensive center fielders in Major League Baseball. But you'll see, he catches that ball. And as you heard Jake Eisenberg's terrific call, it was a snow cone catch. And, you know, as he's smashing into that center field wall, his eyes are fixed on that glove, on that ball, to make sure he squeezes that bad boy tight. Now, D, as far as your question concerning Michael Garcia playing second base rather than where he's been all year at third base, the reasoning is, you know, once Michael Massey's no longer playing second base, now Matt Quatrero said earlier today that they're hoping to get him into a game or two before the All-Star break. Royals have 9 games remaining before the All-Star break, so hopefully we see Michael Massey in there at second base. But to your question, when Massey returned, C.J. Alexander also took the roster spot of Nelson Velasquez. C.J. Alexander's a third baseman or a first baseman. Now, again, this is the reasoning from the coaching staff. I'm just reiterating what they've said. C.J. Alexander's a third baseman slash first baseman, so when he's in there, he's going to be at third base or first base, but of course not first base because Vinny or Salvi's over there. So C.J. Alexander, when his name's in the lineup, it's going to be at third base. Now, on those days, you still want Michael Garcia in the lineup, and the only place he can then play is second base. So what Matt Quatrero says he's trying to avoid is having Michael bounce back and forth. Second base, third base, second base, third base. CJ's in there, I'm at second. Lofton's in there, I'm at third. He's trying to deploy consistency with his middle infielders, or at least with his leadoff hitter who is going through it right now. Now, when Adam Frazier returns, I would venture to guess that he'll take the roster spot of C.J. Alexander. And then, yeah, I think Frazier and Lofton honestly should go back to second base. Michael goes back to third and plays there every single day. If that does not happen, if when Adam Frazier comes off the IL and it's no longer, if Michael doesn't go back to third, upon the return of Adam Frazier, to me, that's a smoke signal that Michael Massey may never again be an everyday second baseman, and that Michael Garcia moving forward might be your second baseman, not only this year, but your second baseman of the future, and now there's a gigantic glaring hole at third base moving forward for this franchise. Thanks for the phone call, D. Let's go to Brock and KCK. Brock, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you for taking my call. Got to say, being at the game tonight, you know, just an electric atmosphere, absolutely amazing. You know, Isbell with the catch late game, sort of just saving us and, increasing the energy in there. But I actually have a question. So me and my dad were kind of having a dilemma, and I was sort of saying that how the wave was starting up in the ninth inning kind of got the crowd going, got the energy up, but he was arguing that it took away from the game and kind of distracted people in the crowd. So I got to say, what's your take?
Oh, man. I was hoping nobody would bring this up, Brock, but I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you guys talking about it during the game, after the game, and reaching out to me. Thanks for the phone call. Listen, 99 out of 100 times, I'm pro-wave, or I'm indifferent about the wave. Maybe that's a better way to put it. There are a lot of media members, and I don't know if it's baseball people, but there are a lot of anti-wave people. I've never understood that. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Let everybody else have a good time. especially the kids. You know, that's part of the experience, is doing the wave. Where else are you going to do the wave if not at a ball game? No, I got no issue with it normally. But in that ninth inning, I did think that was odd timing. Again, do whatever you want to do. You came out, you spent money to support your team. You're doing a lot more than a majority of people that call this show. You're doing a lot more than a majority of people that call themselves diehard Royals fans. Now, some of them are unable to financially to come out. I understand that, but you get my point. You come to the game. You can basically do whatever you want. You want to do the wave, you go right ahead. But game-tying run at the dish, 4-2 game, man on second base with one out. Yeah, I thought it did take away from the game a little bit. Now, the crowd was outstanding tonight. Almost 24,000. An outstanding turnout, outstanding energy. But yeah, odd timing for a ninth inning, two-run game. Odd timing for a wave. So, Brock, I appreciate the phone call, but I'm with Pops on this one. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. The Royals are now seven games back of Cleveland in the division, a half game up on the Boston Red Sox. They maintain that half-game lead for the final American League wildcard spot. My game notes following this Royals 4-2 victory. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Quick timeout. We'll get back to your thoughts right after this.
Welcome back to Vern's post-game show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Here's Bobby, first pitch. Swing, and he lines it down the left field line for a hit. It's going to roll all the way to the corner. Coming around second, getting to third is Isbell. He'll be waved around third. He'll come home and score. Bobby Witt Jr. drives him in with a double down the left field line. His 56th RBI of the year. The Royals tie it 1-1.
Steve Stewart on the call, last heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Bobby Witt Jr. ties it up. And what do you say, 56 RBI? That's tied for 11th best in Major League Baseball. An RBI double there from Bobby in the third. Ties it up at one apiece. Four pitches later, Vinny Pasquantino would smoke a fastball at the knees, back up the gut, putting the Royals up 2-1, they would never look back, as for some reason, Kevin Cash decided to pitch to Salvador Perez there in the seventh inning. If anybody can explain that to me, I understand righty on righty. That's Salvador Perez. How are you going to sleep tonight, Kevin Cash? Am I the only one that thought that? Seventh inning, 2-1 Royals lead. Michael's on third. Bobby's on second. There are two outs. You walk Salvador Perez. You put four fingers up and you take your chances with Michael Massey. Now, certainly, Massey has the ability to beat you. Now, Massey has been, without question, this team's best number five hitter. The best protector of Salvi. But still, as I lay my head on the pillow tonight, if I'm Kevin Cash, I sleep a lot easier if Michael Massey beats me more so than Salvador Perez. But hey, we are the benefactors of that decision. Salvi blasts a two-run single. A fastball down and in. He fights it over the second baseman's head into shallow right center field for a two-run single. A two-run, two-outs, game-winning single by Salvador Perez. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7610. Michael Wacha picks up the win, and for good reason. Six innings of one-run baseball, two hits, eight strikeouts for Michael Wacha. And case can be made, this was his best outing of the season. Now, there are certainly other candidates, but his seventh quality start of the season, the team's 43rd quality start. My friends, tonight was game number 88. They have 43 quality starts. You can do the math. That's almost half the games. You're getting a quality start from the man on the mound. Third most in Major League Baseball. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Let's go back and talk to you as the Royals get back to 8 games above 500. The record now 48-40. Let's go to Maggie in Overland Park. Maggie, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, we were at the game tonight, and it was absolutely amazing. Isbell's catch in the ninth was awesome. The crowd was just electric, but Salvi's hit in the seventh was awesome. It's great to see that the old guy still got it.
You know he does, and hopefully the old guy will make his way down to Arlington in a couple of weeks and join Bobby and Seth Lugo and hopefully Cole Reagans as a member of the American League All-Star team. If you missed it earlier today, the Royals will not have a position player in the starting lineup, but I'm still sitting here expecting to see Seth Lugo get the nod for the Midsummer Classic. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Again, just the decision to pitch to Salvi. You know, coming into the game tonight, Salvi was hitting .354 with runners in scoring position. In OPS, north of 1,000. And they pitched to him. Wow. 913-586-7610. We go to Logan in Liberty. Logan, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, I mean, obviously with our rotation, anytime you get a guy out there, we're going to get a good start. My question is really kind of about the Royals bullpen. I mean, first of all, there's the stat floating around where Schreiber on a day of rest has an ERA of around 10 or around 2. But when he doesn't have rest, he's at 10. And with him pitching last night, what do you think about the decision to put him in? And then also, why don't you go to Zerpa there, I mean, for another inning rather than just sending him out there for one out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the answers that you're looking for. I wasn't thinking, run Zerpa back out there. You know, Zerpa and Schreiber both have, pitched in more games than anybody else in that bullpen. And your point about Schreiber, yeah, again, I'm not the manager, but this is the big leagues. You know, you got to be able to pitch back-to-back days, especially when that's kind of your role, right? John Schreiber is kind of, him and Zerpa are the firemen of this team. Yeah, honestly, I would assume that most relievers are better with rest, right? So that statistic isn't maybe as flooring to me as it is to you, but no, I'm sorry. I didn't have an issue with going to Schreiber, going to Zerpa again. You know, take your pick. Now, to me, Zerpa's the most fearless of the bunch out there in the bullpen. And if I was going to rank my relievers that I trust the most, Zerpa's going to be in there. MacArthur's probably in there, and I guess I'd go Will Smith. But John Schreiber is not far. He might be fourth on that list. Maybe I'm wrong, Logan. Maybe I'm missing some arms out there that have been really good this year. Appreciate the phone call. 913-586-7610. I'm not trying to dodge the question. We could go through Schreiber's inning, right? A hard hit line drive from Jose Siri that Bobby snags. And then the next batter reaches on an error. Now, they charged the error to Bobby. I thought it was more on Vinny. So it should have been two up, two down for Schreiber. Okay, he walks the nine hitter, but then he strikes out Yanni, strikes out Diaz. And if you go back and look at that pitch sequence, what John Schreiber did to the former Rays All-Star, Yandy Diaz, he went, sinker away, fastball away, and then a sweeper that didn't even flirt with the zone, but because Diaz had seen back-to-back fastballs, he's chasing after this sweeper, and he never came close. So Schreiber did his job in the seventh inning. The defense let him down. And honestly, Zerpa did his job as well, right? He comes in and punches the ticket of the only batter that he faces. And then it's a right-hander in Isak Paredes, a right-hander in Randy Arozarena, and a right-hander in Ahmed Rosario. Now, Zerpa isn't, as you saw in the DeLuca at-bat, Zerpa's not afraid to go in the kitchen to a right-hander. But Chris Stratton's got to be better than he was coming out in the eighth inning. I like going to a reliever in a clean inning rather than trying to milk another three outs out of Angel Zerpa. Now, you'll be able to use Zerpa, you would think, tomorrow. I think it was a good move. Again, tonight's game's about the fixers. A lot of traffic for Michael Wacha, but when he needed to bear down and make a pitch, boy, did he ever. Zerpa fixing the defensive issues that were left behind with John Schreiber. James MacArthur picking up a bumpy night for Chris Stratton. And Kyle Isbell picking up the aforementioned James MacArthur on a 410-foot blast to dead center field as Kyle Isbell tracks it down, crashes into the wall, and makes one of, if not the, catch of the year for the Royals. Now that means just as much as the catch of the year for Major League Baseball, because remember that robbing that Adam Frazier pulled off in, where was that, Detroit? I don't remember exactly where it is, but I remember Adam Frazier climbing the wall in right to make a home run robbery. So if Kyle Isbell can make a better catch than that from Adam Frazier, the catch of the year for a Royal just might be the catch of the year in Major League Baseball. Logan, I appreciate the phone call. Hope it doesn't seem as if I'm trying to dodge the question. It's, you know, I only can tell you what I'm thinking at the time as I'm trying to manage along with the game. But in the eighth inning, I was frustrated with Chris Stratton, not with Matt Quatrero. In the seventh inning, I was frustrated with Bobby and Vinny, not with John Schreiber. 913-586-7610. Let's talk to our buddy Dan in KCK. Dan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Josh. It was a great game. Defense, everybody picked up everybody. It was making the good pitches by Walker and Isbell. Catch, let's get to it, Josh. That snow cone, catch, that's not easy. That, you know, it just, it's like that ball was just like glue in his glove, you know. Those are just great. I've seen a lot of great catches. I remember Carlos Beltran walking the wall against Seattle and robbing a home run, and Willie Wilson, the name is also making great plays. But that was the play there. Let's take 12-3. Take care, Josh.
Well, if we're going to, you know, go big picture, greatest catch. Well, the greatest catch ever here that I can think of, I wasn't here for it, but of course the Jim Edmonds diving Willie Mays catch when he was with the Angels. To me, that's a top five catch in baseball history. The greatest catch I've ever seen was that Gary Matthews Jr., where he like climbs the fence and turns around and makes a backhanded home run robbery, Gary Matthews Jr. of the Texas Rangers. Now, if you were at the game and you haven't seen a replay yet, well, that's not how things work, I guess, in 2024. You got a computer in your hands right now. All right, phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Michael Wacha picks up the win. He's now 5-6 on the season. Wacha, 8 consecutive outings of at least 5 innings with 2 earned runs or fewer. 8 straight outings, 5 frames, 2 runs or less. That's the 4th longest such streak in Royals franchise history. And now, without a doubt, the longest such streak by a Royal this season. Impressive stuff for Michael Wacha and James MacArthur, not to mention he picks up his 15th save of the season. 15 saves for a guy that a year ago, I'll be honest, I didn't know anything about James MacArthur. And now he ranks, what, 13th in baseball in saves? He's one back of Kenley Jansen. One, you know, he's tied with Johan Duran of the Minnesota Twins and Camilo Doval of the San Francisco Giants. Some of the biggest names in that role in Major League Baseball. James MacArthur's rubbing elbows with him. You know, so now as we sit under 4 weeks away from the trade deadline, that's the type of move that you should expect from this organization. For as much as you want that big splash, you want that big name third baseman or that big name corner outfielder or that close the door ninth inning guy out of the bullpen, in a season like this, coming off a season like that, when you still possess a playoff spot and there's absolutely no reason why you should get in a bidding war for anyone's services, the expectation of Royals fans should be, not only right now, but all times, to expect this Royals front office to scour the rest of Major League Baseball and find that next James MacArthur. It's not easy. I don't know how they do it, but they got to keep doing it. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Royals win 4-2. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
MacArthur looks towards second, now delivers. Fastball hit high in the air, deep to center field. Isbell sprints back, onto the track, at the fence, leaps. He makes the catch. He snow-coned at the wall. He crashed into the fence and held on for the out. What a grab from Kyle Isbell. Wow.
Oh, just a classic call right there. Jake Eisenberg, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio, Kyle Isbell, 410 feet. It's as far as you can hit a ball without hitting a home run. Taylor Walls did just that off of James MacArthur in the ninth inning with a man on and one out. It's a two-run game. Izzy doesn't make that catch. It's 4-3 with a man in scoring position and the Tampa number three hitter, Isak Paredes, coming to the dish. Can I be honest with you? It's because I've watched and talked with Kyle Isbell so much over the years, and I know the way that he thinks, and if you missed it, he was nice enough to call into the show earlier tonight, and he's waiting on hold while Chris, who was at the game, is, you know, calling out the Kyle Isbell haters. It was beautiful. And he's saying to all of those, you know, that wanted Drew Waters, and Izzy was on hold. He heard it all. But when he came on, he mentioned, you know, my mindset is don't hit the ball to me or else it's an out. So if you want to get on base, if you want to enjoy your night as an offensive performer, don't hit the ball to the Royal center fielder because it's mine. And I talked enough to Michael A. Taylor in his time here. And I used to marvel at Michael A.'s ability to turn his back to the ball, to the field, and just run to a spot, get to that spot, turn, find the ball, make the catch. Now, obviously, I'm nowhere near an athlete, let alone a big league athlete, but if I, you know, you throw me anything, I take my eye off it. I'm not finding it. That thing's dropping. Michael A. Taylor was the best I saw at that, and I think Kyle Isbell would have agreed at the time. But Izzy's taken that tutelage from Gordo, from Michael A. Taylor, and he's become just as good, if not better. Okay, maybe he doesn't have the same bit. Well, he certainly doesn't have the same build. Maybe he isn't the runner that a Michael A. Taylor is. But as far as jumps, as far as turning your back to the infield, taking your eye off the ball, running to a spot, turn, find it, make the catch, Izzy might be the best I've seen in center field. At that, again, Michael A., Lorenzo Cain, special, special, special. Kyle Isbell, special as well. But if I can be honest with you, because of that knowledge, because I know the way that young man thinks, I always think he's going to catch it. So my phone's been blowing up about, could you believe that catch? Oh my God, my wife, my buddies, not just buddies in Kansas City, but from all around the country. Can't believe that catch. And I feel bad because I certainly can. I expected him to make that catch. I understand how spectacular it is. But I hope my response reflects my admiration, my respect, my reverence for Kyle's defensive prowess out there in center field. Yeah, everyone else's jaws were on the floor in the press box. I just took a nice, easy sip of my hot tea. I mean, I picked my jaw. I mean, it did hit the floor, but I picked it up quicker than everybody else. All right. Royals win 4-2 as Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi combined tonight to go 4-for-10. Excuse me, 5-for-10. They score 2 runs. They drive in 4. Vinny and Bobby each with multi-hit nights. Bobby's 34th multi-hit game of the season. Nobody in the sport has more. And how about Vinny Pasquantino? Over his last 30 starts, he's hitting .287 with an OPS just shy of .850. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Raj in the Ozarks. You're next up on the postgame show. Raj, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Raj, real quick, I got to give you some love. Joel Goldberg came up to me recently and said the story that you told of, you know, listening to the game and, you know, you're out on the boat and whatnot, out in the lake. Goldie was raving about that phone call. He loved your description.
Joel would have loved that guy dropping his tools in the water. That was yes. We all got a kick out of that one. But the little boy on the bank, you know, you don't forget things like that. That little boy on the bank, he was excited as we were, and I don't even know if he's had a baseball in his hand his whole life. So
yeah,
I appreciate that, Vern. And I'm going to give a shout out to Jake Eisenberg because he is doing nothing but getting better and better. And you know, it's, down here it's like the old days. Listening to the ball games on the radio is just what a lot of people do and what they look forward to. So, right. Jake Eisenberg, shout out to you, buddy. You are just killing it. You are doing a great job, and it's just a great listen on everybody's Ozark ears down here. Just a couple of quick things I wanted to run by you. MJ, how about MJ creeping up to 193 now? We've got the Red Sox coming. This month is going to be huge, Vern. You are right. I got to looking ahead a little bit, which I hate to do, but I did. The month of July, JJ, golly, buddy, eat a good breakfast every morning because you've got some huge decisions to make down the road this month. We got the White Sox 6 times. We've got the Red Sox 3 times. And MJ, for those of y'all who don't know, he's a lifetime 426 hitter against the Red Sox. And why they didn't make a play for him, Vern, in the offseason, and maybe they did. Why they didn't try to get him, I have no idea. But I'll just leave you with this, Vern, from all the people down here in the Ozarks. Everybody in England, have a great day at work tomorrow because we'll be celebrating.
Hell yeah. USA, baby. Raj, thank you very much, man. Hey, one more note about your guy, MJ Melendez. In the last month of baseball, MJ Melendez has an OPS of .799. That'll play for a guy that's hitting 7th in your lineup, a near .800 OPS. Yes, indeed. 913-586-7610. Let's head out to Virginia. Talk with Jake. You're next up on the postgame show. Jake, what'd you think of that one?
Man, that was an exciting one, Vern. That was a great way to wash the bad, sour taste of a Tuesday night's game out of our mouth. But I'm just glad that I didn't realize this, that they do have the season series lead over the Rays. And, you know, with this expanded wild card playoff picture, it's good that they're getting a leg up on another wild card contender. Hey, is it just me or is anyone else waiting for HUD to mess up and call Bobby Witt Jr. two-hit Witt now with another multi-hit game from Bobby Witt Jr.? I think that's the most in the league, ain't it, Vern?
He's tied with Luis Arraez, yes.
Oh, man. All right, math is off there. Hey, one more thing before I get off. I know we heard from Kyle tonight already, but if you're not a fan of him yet, go watch his interview on Bally Sports. You know, standing there holding his kid in the clubhouse, and he did the old school thing where they cut out the collar on the T-shirt. I haven't seen that in a while, but Kyle Isbell out there playing like a dog and looking like one too. Thank you, Vern. Have a good one now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, man, if I had guns like that and sweet tattoos like Izzy, I'd be cutting the sleeves off. Honestly, I'd never wear a shirt, to be quite honest. If I had any semblance of muscles, I certainly wouldn't be wearing one right now. Tucked away in this little studio, sweating my tail off? No. But I gotta keep it on, just in case any women or children walk by. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals even up this three-game series with the Rays, winning 4-2.
Thanks for taking my phone call, Vern. Man, that catch at center field was, man, that has to be SportsCenter top 10. And look, MacArthur doing his job. I mean, that's great and everything. This game was nerve-wracking. And I know the Royals like those no-scoring games. Man, just continue the great work. And let's play some ball.
I like it. Thanks for the phone call, Garrett. Always appreciate your support, buddy. Let me take a look at the text line real quick. 913-586-7610. Text line's always there for you. 913-586-7610. From the 816, Vern, if you could pluck one player off the Rays roster, who would it be? Well, for as much as I would like to say a hitter, right? For as much as I would like to say Brandon Lau or Randy or Rosarena, and that might be the right answer to say one of those two, I think I got to go bullpen. And it's between Jason Adam or Peter Fairbanks, who are two guys that you have. I mean, the Royals could acquire those guys. I'm not saying it would be easy, certainly not right now. Let's have a few more teams fall out of the race. Again, I do not believe, and this can change, but as of the 3rd of July, I do not think the Royals should get in a bidding war for anyone. And right now, if you want just about anyone, it's going to be a bidding war because there's only so few carcasses to pick from around Major League Baseball. There's so few teams that have waved the white flag. I think I'm going Fairbanks because of his postseason experience. He's a great quote. If you haven't seen the interviews that he's done after his hiccups, after his rough goes, he's an interesting cat. I know Jason Adam, of course, drafted by the Royals. He's a local kid. It would make more sense. But I'm going Fairbanks to answer your question. Now, the reason why I say those guys would make sense as far as a trade acquisition is because they help you not only in 2024, but they can help you in 2025. It's not a rental. I don't know how interested I would be in parting with anything for a rental, because there's no need to be desperate in 2024, especially while you're in possession of a playoff spot. You know, things start to slip. If your standard begins to change, okay, yeah, make some changes. But right now, the standard that has been set forth by this rotation, defense, and team speed, that standard remains. Now, tonight, thanks in large part to the defense in center field of Kyle Isbell and the pitching of Michael Wacha, his fifth win of the season, six innings of one-run baseball. Royals starting pitchers have allowed two runs or fewer in 14 of the last 19 games, a stretch in which they own an ERA of 2.87. 913-586-7610. Few more from the text line. From the 913, Kyle Isbell should get a gold glove for that catch alone. From the 913, Vern, was that Bobby's error or Vinny's error? Well, they gave it to Bobby, unless they've changed it since. That one-out error in the seventh inning was, charged to Bobby. I thought it was more on Vinny. Not a great throw from Bobby. Look, both would say that's on me. A reflection of a quality clubhouse and true professionals. What else do we have from the text line? 620's not happy with Chris Stratton. I appreciate the kind words from the Batman. Always nice having you out there. Dempsey writes in, says he was at the game. Perfect day for baseball. It was my dad's birthday, and we got to see a great win. Oh, that is a perfect day, and just an absolutely gorgeous night. A little double rainbow action happening over the right field wall. A beautiful night sets up what should hopefully be a perfect conclusion to an outstanding homestand. I sat here over a week ago saying, yeah, of course, I'll be smiling if the Royals go 6-4 on this 10-game homestand. But if I can be real with you, I think they got to go 7-3. Season's not over if they fall short of a 7-3 homestand. Of course not. But to keep everything alive, to keep the division, to keep the spirits high, to keep everything alive, you got to win 7 of these 10. And they're in position to do so as they hand the ball to Alec Marsh. Alec Marsh squares off with Zach Eflin. Boy, what a pitching matchup we have in store for us tomorrow. A 7:10 first pitch, and I'm on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock. Following tomorrow, it's 3 in Colorado, 2 in St. Louis, 3 at Fenway Park, and then it's the All-Star Game. Hopefully it's the home run derby for Bobby Witt Jr. Hopefully it's an all-star start for Seth Lugo. And then it's a magical second half of the season. Thanks to JT Noah for the help back at the studio. Thanks to Kyle Isbell for making that catch A and then calling into the postgame show B. Royals win 4-2. We'll do it again tomorrow night. Kansas City, I appreciate you listening. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
MacArthur looks towards second, now delivers. Fastball hit high in the air, deep to center field. Isbell sprints back, onto the track, at the fence, leaps, he makes the catch! He snow-coned it at the wall! He crashed into the fence and held on for the out! What a grab from Kyle Isbell! Wow!
Oh, just a classic call right there, Jake Eisenberg. As heard here on 610 Sports Radio, Kyle Isbell, 410 feet. It's as far as you can hit a ball without hitting a home run. Taylor Walls did just that off of James MacArthur in the ninth inning with a man on and one out. It's a two-run game. Izzy doesn't make that catch. It's 4-3 with the man in scoring position and the Tampa number three hitter, Isak Paredes, coming to the dish. Can I be honest with you? It's because I've watched and talked with Kyle Isbell so much over the years, and I know the way that he thinks, and if you missed it, he was nice enough to call into the show earlier tonight, and he's waiting on hold while Chris, who was at the game, is, you know, calling out the Kyle Isbell haters. It was beautiful. And he's saying to all of those, you know, that wanted Drew Waters, and Izzy was on hold. He heard it all. But when he came on, he mentioned, you know, my mindset is don't hit the ball to me or else it's an out. So if you want to get on base, if you want to enjoy your night as an offensive performer, don't hit the ball to the Royal center fielder because it's mine. And I talked enough to Michael A. Taylor in his time here. And I used to marvel at Michael A.'s ability to turn his back to the ball, to the field, and just run to a spot, get to that spot, turn, find the ball, make the catch. Now, obviously, I'm nowhere near an athlete, let alone a big league athlete. But if I, you know, you throw me anything, I take my eye off it. I'm not finding it. That thing's dropping. Michael A. Taylor was the best I saw at that. And I think Kyle Isbell would have agreed at the time. But Izzy's taken that tutelage from Gordo, from Michael A. Taylor, and he's become just as good, if not better. Okay, maybe he doesn't have the same build. Well, he certainly doesn't have the same build. Maybe he isn't the runner that a Michael A. Taylor is. But as far as jumps, as far as turning your back to the infield, taking your eye off the ball, running to a spot, turn, find it, make the catch, Izzy might be the best I've seen in center field. At that, again, Michael A., Lorenzo Cain, special, special, special. Kyle Isbell, special as well. But if I can be honest with you, because of that knowledge, because I know the way that young man thinks, I always think he's going to catch it. So my phone's been blowing up about, man, could you believe that catch? Oh, my God, my wife, my buddies, not just buddies in Kansas City, but from all around the country. Can't believe that catch. And I feel bad because I certainly can. I expected him to make that catch. I understand how spectacular it is, but I hope my response reflects my admiration, my respect, my reverence for Kyle's defensive prowess out there in center field. Yeah, everyone else's jaws were on the floor in the press box. I just took a nice, easy sip of my hot tea. I mean, I picked my jaw. I mean, it did hit the floor, but I picked it up quicker than everybody else. All right. Royals win 4-2 as Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi combined tonight to go 4-for-10. Excuse me, 5-for-10. They score 2 runs. They drive in 4. Vinny and Bobby each with multi-hit nights. Bobby's 34th multi-hit game of the season. Nobody in the sport has more. And how about Vinny Pasquantino? Over his last 30 starts, he's hitting .287 with an OPS just shy of .850. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Raj in the Ozarks. You're next up on the postgame show. Raj, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Raj, real quick, I got to give you some love. Joel Goldberg came up to me recently and said the story that you told of, you know, listening to the game and, you know, you're out on the boat and whatnot, out in the lake. Goldie was raving about that phone call. He loved your description.
Joel would have loved that guy dropping his tools in the water. That was yes. We all got a kick out of that one. But the little boy on the bank, you know, you don't forget things like that. That little boy on the bank, he was excited as we were, and I don't even know if he's had a baseball in his hand his whole life. So
yeah,
I appreciate that, Vern. And I'm going to give a shout out to Jake Eisenberg because he is doing nothing but getting better and better. And you know, down here it's like the old days. Listening to the ball games on the radio is just what a lot of people do and what they look forward to. So, right. Jake Eisenberg, shout out to you, buddy. You are just killing it. You are doing a great job, and it's just a great listen on everybody's Ozark ears down here. Just a couple quick things I wanted to run by you. MJ, how about MJ creeping up to 193 now? We've got the Red Sox coming. This month is going to be huge, Vern. You are right. I got to looking ahead a little bit, which I hate to do, but I did. The month of July, JJ, golly, buddy, eat a good breakfast every morning because you've got some huge decisions to make down the road this month. We got the White Sox 6 times. We've got the Red Sox 3 times, and MJ, for those of y'all who don't know, he's a lifetime 426 hitter against the Red Sox. And why they didn't make a play for him, Vern, in the offseason, and maybe they did. Why they didn't try to get him, I have no idea. But I'll just leave you with this, Vern, from all the people down here in the Ozarks. Everybody in England, have a great day at work tomorrow because we'll be celebrating.
Hell yeah. USA, baby. Raj, thank you very much, man. Hey, one more note about your guy, MJ Melendez. In the last month of baseball, MJ Melendez has an OPS of .799. Now, that'll play for a guy that's hitting 7th in your lineup, a near .800 OPS. Yes, indeed. 913-586-7610. Let's head out to Virginia. Talk with Jake. You're next up on the postgame show. Jake, what'd you think of that one?
Man, that was an exciting one, Vern. That was a great way to wash the bad sour taste of a Tuesday night's game out of our mouth. But I'm just glad that I didn't realize this, that they do have the season series lead over the Rays. And you know, with this expanded wild card playoff picture. It's good that they're getting a leg up on another wild card contender. Hey, is it just me, or is anyone else waiting for HUD to mess up and call Bobby Witt Jr. two-hit Witt now with another multi-hit game from Bobby Witt Jr.? I think that's the most in the league, ain't it, Vern?
He's tied with Luis Arraez, yes.
Oh, man. All right, math is off there. Hey, one more thing before I get off. I know we heard from Kyle tonight already, but if you're not a fan of him yet, go watch his interview on Bally Sports. You know, standing there holding his kid in the clubhouse, and he did the old school thing where they cut out the collar on the T-shirt. I haven't seen that in a while, but Kyle Isbell out there playing like a dog and looking like one too. Thank you, Vern. Have a good one now.
Yeah. Well, listen, man. If I had guns like that and sweet tattoos like Izzy, I'd be cutting the sleeves off. Honestly, I'd never wear a shirt, to be quite honest. If I had any semblance of muscles, I certainly wouldn't be wearing one right now. Tucked away in this little studio, sweating my tail off? No. But I gotta keep it on, just in case any women or children walk by. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals even up this three-game series with the Rays, winning 4-2.
Thanks for taking my phone call, Vern. Man, that catch at center field was, man, that has to be SportsCenter top 10. And look, MacArthur doing his job. I mean, that's great and everything. This game was nerve-wracking. And I know the Royals like those no-scoring games. Man, just continue the great work. And let's play some ball.
I like it. Thanks for the phone call, Garrett. Always appreciate your support, buddy. Let me take a look at the text line real quick. 913-586-7610. Text line's always there for you. 913-586-7610. From the 816, Vern, if you could pluck one player off the Rays roster, who would it be? Well, for as much as I would like to say a hitter, right? For as much as I would like to say Brandon Lau or Randy or Rosarena, and that might be the right answer to say one of those two, I think I got to go bullpen. And it's between Jason Adam or Peter Fairbanks, who are two guys that you have. I mean, the Royals could acquire those guys. I'm not saying it would be easy, certainly not right now. Let's have a few more teams fall out of the race. Again, I do not believe, and this can change, but as of the 3rd of July, I do not think the Royals should get in a bidding war for anyone. And right now, if you want just about anyone, it's going to be a bidding war because there's only so few carcasses to pick from around Major League Baseball. There's so few teams that have waved the white flag. I think I'm going Fairbanks because of his postseason experience. He's a great quote. If you haven't seen the interviews that he's done after his hiccups, after his rough goes, he's an interesting cat. I know Jason Adam, of course, drafted by the Royals. He's a local kid. It would make more sense. But I'm going Fairbanks to answer your question. Now, the reason why I say those guys would make sense as far as a trade acquisition is because they help you not only in 2024, but they can help you in 2025. It's not a rental. I don't know how interested I would be in parting with anything for a rental, because there's no need to be desperate in 2024, especially while you're in possession of a playoff spot. You know, things start to slip. If your standard begins to change, okay, yeah, make some changes. But right now, the standard that has been set forth by this rotation, defense, and team speed, that standard remains. Now, tonight, thanks in large part to the defense in center field of Kyle Isbell and the pitching of Michael Wacha, his fifth win of the season, six innings of one-run baseball. Royals starting pitchers have allowed two runs or fewer in 14 of the last 19 games, a stretch in which they own an ERA of 2.87. 913-586-7610. A few more from the text line. From the 913, Kyle Isbell should get a gold glove for that catch alone. From the 913, Vern, was that Bobby's error or Vinny's error? Well, they gave it to Bobby, unless they've changed it since. That one-out error in the seventh inning was, charged to Bobby. I thought it was more on Vinny. Not a great throw from Bobby. Look, both would say that's on me. A reflection of a quality clubhouse and true professionals. What else do we have from the text line? 620's not happy with Chris Stratton. I appreciate the kind words from the Batman. Always nice having you out there. Dempsey writes in, says he was at the game. Perfect day for baseball. It was my dad's birthday, and we got to see a great win. Oh, that is a perfect day, and just an absolutely gorgeous night. A little double rainbow action happening over the right field wall. A beautiful night sets up what should hopefully be a perfect conclusion to an outstanding homestand. I sat here over a week ago saying, yeah, of course, I'll be smiling if the Royals go 6-4 on this 10-game homestand. But if I can be real with you, I think they gotta go 7-3. Season's not over if they fall short of a 7-3 homestand. Of course not. But to keep everything alive, to keep the division, to keep the spirits high, to keep everything alive, you got to win 7 of these 10. And they're in position to do so as they hand the ball to Alec Marsh. Alec Marsh squares off with Zach Eflin. Boy, what a pitching matchup we have in store for us tomorrow. A 7:10 first pitch, and I'm on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock. Following tomorrow, it's 3 in Colorado, 2 in St. Louis, 3 at Fenway Park, and then it's the All-Star Game. Hopefully it's the home run derby for Bobby Witt Jr. Hopefully it's an All-Star start for Seth Lugo. And then it's a magical second half of the season. Thanks to JT Noah for the help back at the studio. Thanks to Kyle Isbell for making that catch A and then calling into the postgame show B. Royals win 4-2. We'll do it again tomorrow night. Kansas City, I appreciate you listening. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.